Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song makes you wonderful. Something you never seen before.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching from the book of Romans and will be continuing today with part two of The Perfect Will of God. So let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 12, verse 1, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. One of the most fundamental issues of the Christian life is the will of God. Every serious Christian wants to know and walk in the will of God. But as many of you know, discovering the will of God can be challenging at times. Just this whole idea of the will of God. Well, how do I know that this is really what God wants me to do? And what if I go in this direction and that's not really what God has for me? And most of us, to some degree, know that dilemma and that struggle of trying to discern what God's will is. Well, Paul gives us the prescription for knowing what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, two things are necessary right up front. And we've looked at both of these in depth already, so I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail, but let me just remind you. The two things that are necessary in order for us to make sure we're in that place to get in the center of God's will is, number one, total surrender. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. I'm not going to be able to get in the center of God's will if I'm not surrendered to God. If I'm still holding on to my life, if I'm still insisting on being in the driver's seat, so to speak, if I am still hoping to fulfill my plan or follow my agenda, then I'm not going to get to that place of being in the center of God's will. There has to be a relinquishing of all that. And when I do that, when I yield myself to Him in total surrender, that's when I put myself in the position to discover what God's will is. So total surrender, number one. Secondly, transformation. So again, we talked about not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of the mind. So total surrender, transformation, that renewal of the mind through the influence of the Word of God. And as we're doing these things, as we're totally surrendering ourselves to the Lord, as we're allowing God to transform us through His Word, giving us a new way of viewing life, a new outlook on the world, a new perspective on everything, we're putting ourselves again right in that place to find ourselves right where God wants us to be, right in the center of His will. Now, when we talk about the will of God, there are different aspects of God's will that we can end up talking about. And it's important to make the distinction between what we might call the general will of God and then the personal will of God. And the difference between those two things is simply this. The general will of God is the same for all believers. The personal will of God will vary to some degree from believer to believer because it has to do specifically with that person. So let's look for a minute first at the general will of God, because the general will of God is the foundation that must be laid in order for us to ultimately get to the personal will of God. I can't disregard the general will of God and ever expect to find the personal will of God. If I'm going to get into the personal will of God, I first of all have to be in His general will. So, the general will of God, what is it? Well, it's essentially everything that we're being taught throughout the scriptures and specifically in the instructional portion of the New Testament, the epistles. So as we read through the epistles of the New Testament, what we're basically being given is a picture of the general will of God. This is what God wills for all of His people. Three things I'll just touch on. Number one, living righteously. That's true for every believer. God wants every single one of His people to be living righteously. Secondly, living in sexual purity. Living thankfully. This is the general will of God. It's the same for all of us. It's true for all of us. And this is what we are to be taken up with foundationally or firstly. This is the priority. When I come to Christ and I begin to walk with Him, what I'm primarily concerned with at the moment is just the general will of God, just making sure that I'm doing the things that God has clearly laid out for all of us to do in His Word. Now, the personal will of God, that is what, as we go along in our faith, that is what we become more and more interested in or more and more concerned about. As we're getting established in the general will of God, as we're living the way God has called us to live, as we are maintaining sexual purity, as we're living with, you know, thankful hearts and praising Him and basically just, you know, doing those things that make for Christian maturity, then we start asking the more specific questions about, well, you know, Lord, what do You have for me personally? And we ask those questions in regard to all different kinds of things. God's will for you personally includes things like education, vocation, marriage, financial stewardship, ministry. Those are some of the things that we begin to wonder about, some of the things that we begin to pray about, some of the things that we begin to seek the Lord on. Lord, you know, what do You have for me? Now, remember this. The personal will of God will only be discovered in the context of the general will of God. So our first priority is to concentrate on the general will of God. Make sure we're doing that. And if we're doing that, then we can expect God to give us more specific direction on the things that pertain to us personally. If I'm not in the center of God's revealed will, His general will, what the Bible says, in other words, if I'm not concerned to live righteously, but I want to know what God's plan is for my life, or if I'm living in sexual immorality, and yet I'm looking specifically, well, God, you know, what would You have me to do here? Or, you know, obviously, those things have to first of all be sorted out. And once they're sorted and once I'm established in a consistent, solid walk with the Lord, then I come down to, okay, Lord, what do You have for me on a more personal level? So the personal will of God is discovered in the context of the general will of God. And the personal will of God will always be in harmony with the general will of God. God is never going to call you to do something personally that his written word, that his revealed will in the scriptures prohibits. And that's never going to be the case. It's always going to be in harmony with the general will of God. So, here's the big question. How do I discover the personal will of God? Well, there are things that I would call pointers toward the will of God. There are certain things that God is going to use to point us in the direction of his will. And the first thing is inclination. Inclination. You know what that means, right? There's a desire there, and it's more than just a passing desire, but it's a desire that's causing you to be inclined to go in a certain direction. So God gives us an inclination toward the things that he is wanting to lead us into, those things that fall under the category of his personal will. I love the passage in Philippians where Paul tells us that it is God who works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So God works in us. And God puts in us the will to do the thing that he wants us to do. So we have a God-given inclination towards something. You just feel like, you know, I want to do that. I just feel like that's the direction that I'm supposed to move in. And I would say along with the inclination, there would also be an enabling. There would be an enabling. Now, not everything we want to do is necessarily God's will for us to do. You know, we might want to do something that just simply goes beyond the call that God has for us. So recognize that. It is possible to want to do something, but that's not necessarily what God has called you to do. And one of the ways that you'll know, or at least have a better indication that God is calling you to that, is that there is an enabling that comes along with it. So it's not simply a desire or even an inclination, but there's an enabling. There's an ability that has been given to you. So you have a gifting in a particular area. So inclination and enabling. Secondly, opportunity. Opportunity. Along with the inclination and the enabling, God brings about opportunities to move in that direction. Now, let me say this. This kind of throws a bit of a wrench in it. Sometimes the opportunity alone is the thing that God uses. There is not an inclination necessarily. But the opportunity arises and somehow you sort of get pushed into it, and then you find that there's an enabling, and then ultimately you finally end up with a desire. I've had that happen in my life at times. I didn't necessarily have an inclination to go in a certain direction or to do a certain type of ministry. I wasn't really given an option. It was just simply, this is what you have to do. And so because I find myself in the midst of this opportunity, you just start to do what you can do. And then as time goes on, you realize, wow, you know, the Lord's in this. And you sense his enabling. And then you really begin to have a passion for that. But inclination, enabling, opportunity. And then, thirdly, confirmation. Confirmation. So we've got the inclination, we've got the enabling, the opportunity comes, but still, quite often, we're looking for confirmation. We're wanting that final thing that's just going to seal it for us. And just, okay, Lord, I just need that one final word. And then, you know, then I can confidently move in that direction. Now, before I even get into confirmation, let me say that sometimes a clear confirmation doesn't come. And sometimes you can be waiting around for a clear confirmation and you're going to wait forever because it's not coming. What has to take place at that point is faith has to be activated. And we have to go by faith on what we've got. So I've got an inclination, I've got an enabling, I got an opportunity, I'm looking for a confirmation, and I'm not seeming to get it, but you know, at some point, sometimes you just have to go, okay, well, I'm just taking this step of faith. But let's talk a little bit more about confirmation for a moment. So confirmation. We're looking first and foremost, I think, for scriptural confirmation. I'm looking for the Lord to confirm to me through his word that this is the thing. This is what he has for me. So as I'm reading my Bible, I'm looking for that scriptural confirmation. It doesn't necessarily only happen while I'm reading my Bible. It could happen as I'm listening to the word being expounded. So I come into the Bible study. I've got this thing that's weighing me down. I've been praying about it and I'm wondering. And, you know, those other components are there, but I'm still not sure. And, oh, Lord, I just need some confirmation. And in the course of the message that's delivered by the person sharing the word, boom, there's a word that comes, and it comes unmistakably to you, and you feel like you're the only one sitting in the building, and you're just like, man, thank you, Lord. That is what I needed. God spoke to you. He gave you confirmation. That's what we long for. I long for that kind of clear confirmation. I want to be able to point back to the scripture and say, these verses right here are the verses that God used to launch me into this. Or that message that that person gave, that was the word of the Lord to me. So we look for that. Confirmation, scriptural confirmation, first of all. Secondly, we would look for confirmation through unbiased godly counsel. And I say unbiased because godly people can sometimes give you bad counsel because they have a bias. So you want to the best of your ability, make sure that the person you're looking for the counsel from is going to give you unbiased counsel. They don't have necessarily a stake in the situation. Because the godliest people at times can be biased. You come and you tell them, you know, I feel like the Lord is wanting me to do this. Now, I'll just give you a quick example, a current example. My youngest son came to me a few weeks ago or whatever it was, a month ago, and he said, Dad, I feel like the Lord wants me to move to England. Now, my bias is, I don't want you to do that necessarily because I'm going to miss you and I love you and you're going to be far away and, you know, all of those kinds of things. So it's very difficult for me to give him an unbiased perspective on what God's will is in this, except I think I'm able to do it simply because I know better than to interject my bias. Because I've had that done to me before, and I don't want to do that to other people, and I recognize that God calls us all to make sacrifices, and so forth. But, you know, I would have a heavy temptation to say, well, you know, son, I understand that, and that, you know, that sounds great, but listen, I think that maybe the Lord has something else for you closer to home. So you see what I'm saying? You know, we can have a tendency to be biased at times. So we want to seek out, to the best of our ability, unbiased, godly counsel. Somebody that's just going to say, let's look at the circumstances, let's look at the scriptures, and just from my experience and all, this is what it seems like the Lord might be saying. So we look for that, unbiased, godly counsel. And then circumstances. Circumstances can many times be the thing that God uses to give us the confirmation that we are in his will. And listen, the circumstances can be favorable, but not necessarily. Sometimes unfavorable circumstances will be the very thing that ends up planting us in the center of God's will. See, we tend to think that if we're in God's will, everything's got to be favorable. Everything's got to be perfect. All of the ducks have to be in a row. We have to feel this great peace about it. You know, not necessarily. It's possible to be right in the center of God's will and to be in a storm at the same time. It's possible to be right in the center of God's will and to be in circumstances that are less than favorable. I've just been reading again the life of David. He's a man who's in the center of God's will, but he's in the center of a storm for years as well. But God's placed him there. So, confirmation. Scriptural confirmation, unbiased godly counsel, circumstances. These are all of the things that God will use to point us in the direction of his will. Years and years ago, I was desperately needing a word from the Lord. It's one of those seasons in my life where I just was so desperate to hear the Lord speak to me. And Cheryl and I had gone with Chuck and Kay to Hawaii. And we were there, and I was going through a very difficult time physically. And, you know, I was seeking clarity on God's will. And I remember going to the service on that particular Sunday that we were there, and Pastor Chuck was teaching. And I was just so longing for a word. I desperately needed God speak to me. I need to get clarity. I need to, you know, about his will. And I remember when we got to the church and Pastor Chuck got up to speak and he announced the title of his message. And, you know, it was a message that I'd heard him give before, and it was a good message. But I immediately thought to myself, oh, that's not the message I need. Oh, darn. And I just sat there kind of disappointed. And, you know, he began to teach. But, you know, about halfway through that message, it was one of those times when I felt like I was the only one in the room. And God was speaking so clearly to me. And he was laying out the future plan in a very personal way. But then in a sense, generally, he was laying out the future plan for my life. And essentially it was this: you're going to walk by faith. You're going to live by faith. You're going to do things that you never dreamed you would do, and you're going to do them under circumstances that you don't necessarily want to do them under, things like that. But I knew that I knew when I left that service that day that God had spoken to me and that I had clarity on his will. And so there's that confirmation. So once again, inclination and enabling, opportunity, confirmation, scriptural, unbiased godly counsel, and circumstances, favorable or sometimes even unfavorable. Now, as I said a moment ago, and let me go back to this again for just a moment, there comes a point in which, in order to get into the center of God's personal will, what we're talking about here as the perfect will of God, there's always the necessity of faith. You see, because here's the reality. God does not give us ever 100% of the picture. He doesn't give us 100% assurance. It's just not the way God operates. He gives us enough to activate our faith and to have us move on the basis of faith.
We'll return with more insightful lessons from the book of Romans in our next study as Pastor Brian continues with the perfect will of God. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled The Perfect Will of God. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number B0155. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/Pastor Brian Broderson. Also on Twitter at twitter.com/Brian Broderson. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.